We have come home. And there is coming a day when we will go to our eternal home. And praise God for that. Where we will never grow old. But while we're yet living on this earth, the Lord requires that we work faithfully in His vineyard and in His church and in His kingdom. And do you know why that we are here today? Not only because our forefathers had the vision and the leadership of the Spirit to found Macedonia Church, but from one generation to the next, we find that they went fishing for men. What was the commission that Jesus called His apostles to in Matthew chapter 4? He said, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. And from henceforth, you shall not just catch fish, but you will catch men. That is, by going out, remember the last Sunday that I was here, I preached about come and see, and then go out and tell. Come and see, and then go out and tell. This morning, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, as since last Sunday was Easter Sunday, this is a very appropriate chapter to turn to, as the next Sunday, following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, that seven of Jesus' disciples were going to go out into the Sea of Galilee and go fishing. And that is the subject on my heart this morning, going fishing for men. Going fishing for men. So we find this is after the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He has appeared to them not once, but twice, and to others individually. And I believe they finally come to the realization that He indeed had risen from the dead. You remember when Jesus initially appeared to the apostles, and we find actually before even that time, when the women told the apostles that He was risen, their words, the women's words, seemed to the apostles as idle tales, and they believed them not. Can you imagine that? The apostles that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, when those women came at the command of Jesus Himself, go tell my disciples that I am risen again from the dead, just as I said I would, and that you will go and meet me in the place that I appointed, that those words to them seemed as if they were idle tales, and they believed them not. And I preached on that last Sunday at Bethlehem Church, and I asked myself, if I had walked with Jesus for over 3 years, and then he had told me, Jesus taught me on many occasions that I'm going to Jerusalem, that I'm going to suffer many things of the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees, that I'm going to be delivered up to the Romans, I'm going to be crucified and buried, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And then when those women came to me, I have to ask myself, would I have believed their report? You know, and under the same circumstances, I probably would not have. I probably would not have. They were not superhumans. They were human as we are. And they had all the sins and faults and failures that we have. But yet in John chapter 21, at this point, I do believe that they realized that yes, indeed, He had risen again from the dead. But they are actually now in a state of discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged in the Lord's service? I know you have, and I have. Have you ever been discouraged when seemingly your labors do not produce any fruit that you can see? I know I have. The two churches that I served for almost 27 years were very small in numbers. Many of our churches are today. But I feel like we're big in the Spirit of God, though. We're big in the Spirit of God, but we're very small in number. But yet it can at times be discouraging, can it? It can be discouraging when you think that you're just a few years away from the church, the local body, just dying away. And it can produce a spirit of discouragement. And those seven disciples in John 21 were evidently feeling a spirit of discouragement, of being cast down, of being let down. In other words, it's as if the air had been let out their tires, and they couldn't go anywhere. But they know that there was one thing they knew, and it was their trade, fishing. By their trade, they were fishers. So look at this in John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And if I count correctly, that is seven of his disciples. And listen to verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege that we have to be here at Macedonia Church on the 150th anniversary. What a special day that it is. And each of us in our own heart are thinking of the wonderful memories that we have. Many of us who grew up here in this church from the time that we were born. And I can look out and see those older members that I remember that were here when I was growing up, and new faces, Lord, that I may not know as well. And generations, fathers, great-grandfathers, fathers, sons, daughters, granddaughters, grandsons. And we're so thankful for each and every one. Now, Heavenly Father, may thy Spirit rest upon us, that we may worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when Peter said to those other six disciples, well, you know, I'm just going to go fishing, it seems to me as if he were saying, I'm giving up on Jesus restoring the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 1, they even asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said, it's not in to you to know the times and seasons that God has placed in his own hand. So they were so discouraged. They felt like it was over. They felt like there was no more need to follow after the teachings of the Lord and to strive in his kingdom service. So they said, we're just going to go back to what we know, fishing. Sometimes in our own lives, when we're so discouraged or despondent, do we sometimes just feel like just giving up and just say, I'm going to just go back to my old way of doing things and just put it away and just give up? But the Lord would never have us do such an awful thing as that. We are to press on, ever looking to our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our salvation. But it seems as if Peter is going out and thinking, I'm just going to do things my own way. You know, when you do things your own way, there's not going to be any spiritual fruit that comes from it. When we do things in our own understanding, there will not be spiritual fruit born from that. And that night, they caught nothing. That's the evidence of it. They caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, don't you love that phrase? But when now the morning was now come. You know, there's coming a great getting up morning. You ever heard that old song, the great getting up morning? There's coming a great getting up morning someday, and we're going to wake up when the Lord calls us, aren't we? When the Lord calls, we're going to wake up, and we're going to rise from the grave and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when the morning was now come, reminds me of what the psalmist David said in Psalm chapter 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in when? The morning. Joy comes in the morning. And joy was about to come to these disciples' heart. And that phrase, but, is always a contrast between something negative and something positive. They caught nothing that night, but something good is about to happen. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus at that moment. You remember that when Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene in chapter 20 of John, she did not initially know who he was until he called her by her name and said, Mary. And then she said, Rabboni, which is to say master. And she knew who he was. The same was true on another occasion. There were two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were also afflicted with what? The spirit of discouragement. The spirit of discouragement there in Luke 24. Said, we trusted that this would have been he who would have delivered Israel. We thought he was the one who would have delivered Israel. Well, they were not looking for the right kind of deliverance, were they? They were looking for a natural deliverance from the Roman government. But he didn't come to deliver them in a natural sense to overthrow the Roman government. He came to deliver them from their sins and to destroy death, hell, and the grave. And he did. He did. And he said, oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the Scripture said of me throughout the Old Testament prophets, the Psalms, and the books of Moses. And so we find, then Jesus says to them, children, have you any meat? And aren't you thankful he called them children? That is a term of endearment. We are all his little children. You know, later in the epistles of John, he calls God's people my little children. It don't matter if you're a month old or 100 years old. We are all God's little children. Everyone precious in his sight. Children, do you have any meat? Have you caught anything? The answer is said no. But then Jesus told them what to do. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. On the right side of the ship. Now, you can interpret that in one of two ways. Literally, of course, you can interpret it as the right side of the boat as opposed to the left side of the boat, right? You got the left side and the right side. The right side as opposed to the left side. But in a more spiritual sense, I like to think of it as the right side versus the wrong side. The right side versus the wrong side. You know, there are only two paths that we can walk as a child of God. We can either walk the right path, the narrow path that Jesus says leads unto life, or the wrong path, the broad path that leads unto destruction. You know, Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the way, the narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads unto destruction. And many go the broad way, but there are few that go the narrow way, the right way." So I believe, it's better think of it as right versus wrong. And so as we see, what did they do? They obeyed what Jesus commanded them to do. Now this is not rocket science, is it? If you obey what the Lord commands you to do, there's going to be fruit that is born from it. And there's going to be blessings to be experienced in it. But in disobedience, there's nothing but barrenness and despair. Barrenness and despair. And so they obeyed what the Lord Jesus commanded them to do. So they did. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. You know what? In the book of Micah, it says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and see if the Lord will not pour you out a blessing wherewith you shall not even be able to contain it." And you know what? We shouldn't even try to contain it, should we? We should shout it from the rooftop. We should go and tell what great things the Lord has done for me. You know, last time I was here, that's where I ended. Mark chapter 5. The man that was possessed of the legion, after the Lord cast the demons out, you find that he wanted to go with Jesus. It's in Mark chapter 5. He wanted to go with him, but what did Jesus tell him? "Go home to your friends and tell your friends and family what great things the Lord hath done for you." And that's why we're here today. Because our forefathers went home to their family and their friends, and they told their family and friends, "Come down to Macedonia Church and see what great things the Lord is up to. The Spirit of the Lord is manifested greatly at this place. Come see and see what the Lord is doing at this place." And that's exactly why we are here today. And so we find that Peter got excited, and they were not very far from the shore, about 300 feet. 200 cubits, which is about 300 feet. So Peter got out of the boat and started, he walked to the shore, and they came with the boat, and I don't know who counted the fish, but there's 153. There's 153. I don't know who counted. But Jesus had already cooked a meal for them. Did he? Verse 9. "As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." When we come into the Lord's house, we come to a prepared table. We come to a banqueting house. The Song of Solomon tells us, we come to his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. His banner over us is love. We come to a prepared meal. And we find it in the Word of God, don't we? Yes, we do. That's right. That's correct. Thank you. That here's where we find it. You know where to go, don't you? The Word of God. That is where we find spiritual food to satisfy our hungry soul. Spiritual food to satisfy our hungry soul. Do you know why? Why do we have a spiritual appetite? Because we have been born again by God's Holy Spirit. And when we've been quickened by the Spirit of Jesus lives in your heart. And we have a hunger, a longing, a spiritual appetite to learn and know more about our Savior and to draw closer to Him and commune with Him. A spiritual hunger. And that's what Jesus said. Those that come to me, that they shall be filled in the Beatitudes. And so, Jesus told them in verse 12, come and dine. Aren't you thankful He said that? Come and dine. That's what we're doing this morning, isn't it? We're coming into the Lord's house and dining upon the Master's table. You know, when we here just a little bit, we're going to go to the annex and we're going to have a feast, I believe. I'm sure we're going to have a feast. You're hungry? Okay. I'll try to wrap it up here shortly. But we find, does anybody have very much trouble putting a fork on your plate and lifting it to your mouth? You don't have much trouble doing that, do you? Putting a fork in that food, lifting it to your mouth, putting it in your mouth, chewing it, and swallowing that food. You don't have a whole lot of trouble doing that, do you? Now, think about a spiritual sense. Do we sometimes have trouble taking a spiritual fork and putting it in the Word of God and lifting out that spiritual food, putting it into our mouths, and chewing on the Word of God so that God's Word becomes a part of our life? Think about that analogy. Now, how often do you miss a natural meal? Very rarely. Very rarely. How often, however, do we miss a spiritual meal from God's Word? How often do we only feast on it on the Lord's Day and we forget about it during the week? We're spiritually starving our souls if we do that. If the only spiritual food that you dine upon is that the preacher gives you on Sunday morning, you're starving to death. And you need to get in God's Word. You need to be praying and studying the Word of God, making it a part of your life. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, come and dine. Feast upon Me. Feast upon Me and My Word. And by that time, none of the disciples were saying, who is this? They knew He was Jesus. They knew better than to say, who are you? We know who you are. You are our Master, our Lord, and our Savior. So then Jesus then comes and He takes bread and gives them, and fish likewise. He takes bread. He is the bread of life. That bread that came down from heaven, the manna in the wilderness, was a symbol of Jesus Christ that they ate for 40 years. And we need to eat of that bread of life every day. Because we need the spiritual nourishment to go out and tell others what great things the Lord has done for me. So that was the third time that He had showed Himself to them after He was risen from the dead. Now I'm going to conclude with these next few verses. You know, Jesus had a lot of personal instruction for the Apostle Peter, didn't he? And you know why? He was the one who denied him three times. Do you know me, Peter? Do you know me, Peter? Do you know me, Peter? He denied him three times. And where was it that he denied him? It was at a fire of coals. What? A fire of coals that Peter denied him. And now Jesus is at another fire of coals and telling Peter and the other disciples, come unto me, come and die. Don't you know that fire of coals probably reminded him of what he did that night before his crucifixion, warming himself on that fire of coals? People saying to you, were you one of his disciples? No, I don't know the man. And so Jesus asked Peter three times, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than the other disciples? Do you love me more than your former occupation? Do you love me more than life itself? Peter, am I your primary focus? But what did Peter say? He would say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Now, when Jesus was asking the first two times, do you know me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He used the word agape. Do you have God's kind of love for me? And when he answered, Peter would answer and say, I have a friendship love for you. The Greek word phileo, philia, from which we get Philadelphia. I'm your friend, but in my heart, I know now that I was not willing to go unto death with you. I was not willing to die for you, as I said earlier. And then Jesus the third time said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. And the third time he took Peter's word, philia. And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So he said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you know what Jesus was doing with Peter there? First of all, he was telling him how much he loved him. He was recommissioning Peter. At that moment, I'm sure Peter thought, you know, I'm no longer worthy to serve my Lord. Now, have you ever felt that way? We have no worthiness in our own selves, do we? None at all. Our worthiness comes from Jesus Christ. He's made us worthy. Now, Peter is going to go forward. He's going to be a bold apostle. He's going to be, in the book of Acts, the one on the day of Pentecost, and the one with Cornelius and the Gentiles. He's going to write 1st and 2nd Peter. And the Lord's going to use him in a great and mighty way. And so, I ask myself this morning, and I ask each of us, do we love him that much? Do we love him enough to serve him? Do we love him enough to serve him? We should love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength, and all our mind. And love one another as Jesus loved you and loved me. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.